Okay, but during wars, players made Japan. And Japan is a very, very good soldier. And he has assigned, because he's almost too good, he has assigned to this academy where young men are sent who need a little bit of structure in their lives. And a young African American boy automatically assumes that because Major Payne, too, is black, that the two of them will have a good connection, that his day has arrived. He no longer will have to do any particular extra work. His companion will make sure that everything is just fine. Major Payne quickly helps this young this young boy, this child, to recognize that, well, it's not going to work that way, that they are in need of structure in their lives, and no one is going to be seen as getting special treatment with Major Payne in charge. This reality that we can look upon someone and presume some sort of connection, assume some sort of connection, I think if we really kind of look at today's gospel, is kind of what's going on. The clue is this whole line about, why do you call me good? What is it that he calls him good? We presume that this young man who apparently has never sinned a day in his life, because he's followed the commandments perfectly from his youth, to which I would want to say, really? Perfectly? Every one of them? Okay. But he lines up. I wonder if he lines up because he felt that here's someone who is my key. I'm just showing that the two of us are kind of similar, but I'm a good guy, but he'll take care of me from there. He lines up, good teacher, what must I do to earn eternal life? Tell me, what is it that your secret? The two of us are so much alike, unlike these rest of these fishermen and poor people who are all around. The two of us must have something very special in common. That's when Jesus does the whole line about what you call good, and then exchange about the laws, and then the challenge. Christ challenges this young man to somehow pass. Obviously, he's very intent on leading the life of goodness, and so surely it won't be that big of a deal. He's obviously very adamant that he wants what he says he wants. So he tells him, well, then go. If your life has been so good, if you have lived so well, then follow through with the rest of it. Go and sell everything you have and come and follow me. The young man goes away, his face fell, for he had many possessions. One thing to keep in mind, kind of a balance of the fact that perhaps maybe he's not a saint at the beginning of the writing, he went away sad. It doesn't mean he didn't come back. He went away sad because he had many possessions. Maybe he was sad for that process. Maybe he knew that process would take, well, maybe a lifetime. But he doesn't say that he failed completely to do what Christ asked him to do. It may have just taken him quite some time. We, for our part, are similarly challenged by today's gospel to recognize what it is that we are holding on to. What is it that Christ might ask of us that we would then say, it's all too much, Jesus. Asking a little too much. Make me patient, Lord, but not yet. That sort of reality. Jesus, though, well, he knows us. He looked at this young man, this rich man, with love. He saw him. He saw through any kind of platitudes or coercion or any kind of way in which this man is trying to one up on Jesus. Whatever any of that, even if none of that is true, Jesus saw him truly for who he is. He saw him and he loved him. And because he loved him, he asked him to give up everything. Not as a punishment, not as necessarily simply a challenge, but an opportunity to follow Christ and follow him completely. Or at least to go make it clear. Our first reading is clear that wisdom and prudence are more valuable than gold or silver. That we should seek wisdom and prudence above all things. And wisdom and prudence themselves point to the reality that Christ is the answer, that it is wise and prudent to invest our lives in Christ, invest our time in Christ, invest our money in Christ, because with Christ there is eternal salvation. Nothing is impossible for God if we try and bring our own way into heaven, if we try to work our own way into heaven, if we try and volunteer or outsmart our way into heaven, well, it's impossible for us. But nothing is impossible for God. Once more, it is CSI season. And I'm guessing, yay! I'm how excited you are. Yeah, exactly. Yes. We get to see pie charts on the screen out in the wilderness space. We get to hear Father tell us how much more we have until he quits telling us how much more we have to go. Yay! It's CSI season again. Woohoo! I don't like talking about money. I've said it every time I've had to do this. I don't like talking about money. But I do like talking about the opportunity for you as a disciple of Christ to put, well, your money where your faith is. Put your money where your faith is. To discern with your loved ones and within your own understanding what you're called to do, what is it that you may be able to contribute to the CSA this year, the Catholic Services Appeal, the appeal that helps to fund all of the work of the diocese. But through this, I will always be grateful. You may have received one of these in the mail. If you didn't receive one of these flyers in the mail, there are all kinds on the table in the back. It's has all kinds of information, including a reminder to you of how expensive it is to train a priest. Average cost per year of one seminary is $54,800. That's a lot of money. And if I weren't certain of God's work in my life, I would see that and think, my goodness, people of God have spent a lot of money on me. But I wake up every morning trying to repay those who had their trust in the CSA and in the Archdiocese with my life, giving what I have so that I make good use of that which I have received. This is an opportunity, like all opportunities, to look at our entire life and say, this is what I desire to give to the CSA this year. There are sometimes our special incentives, sometimes a person puts forward a major gift as a matching gift. Last year, I added a little bit so that the addition would be doubled. I've cut back this year so that probably next year I can add a little bit more and that will be doubled. It's funny, this year they tell us that deacon's gifts are doubled. Deacon gifts are doubled. This is anyone who gives money to deacon, and then his gift will be doubled. And then we're fine. Double can stop. In our bulletins, you find a breakdown of actually my contribution, my yearly contribution to all charities. When the Archbishop gathers priests together, he often asks us to say what it is that we are giving, and the more you think about it, the more I realize, well, that's just a number. That doesn't really tell a story. What tells a story is the percentage
I didn't know.
No, I didn't think much about it. Every time there was an opportunity to give a donation, a recurring donation, I decided it, and I made a decision, and that's what it was. I started having it up, and it turned out to be quite a bit more than I thought. And that's what I realized, well, I'm maybe going to double what it is that I'm earning to make sense out of all of this. So here it is, and you see that broke down lower, and 1% of my income, 1% of what I earn before taxes, goes to the CSA. That's my story. 1% of my income, well, 1% of my doubled income, goes to CSA before taxes. I have hope for the diocese. I pray for the diocese. We will, in the next several months to a year, receive a new archbishop. Your prayers are needed for the diocese, but it is also an opportunity to follow the diocese and all the good work that we do here in the Archdiocese. There are so many ways in which that money is used, all these color-coded charts and everything. But it's the people that we love and meet that matter most to me. It's the way in which my contribution to anything that I fund helps the person that I love to meet, helps the person that could never pay me back, helps to build the kingdom of God in ways that aren't my own. Not the way I would build the kingdom, but the way that Christ would build his kingdom. Christ challenges us today to give up everything. We don't have to give up everything today. But one day, when we know our Lord and Savior, we will give up everything. But there's an opportunity, a challenge, to see what it is that we may give to the CSA.